Alicia. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I decided to just sort of like play random podcasts that I haven't listened to in forever. One of yours came up. I have to tell you that, wow, talk about right place, right time, right moment, right podcast. All I can say is that I really needed to hear that one in this moment on my drive while I'm alone, while I'm in thought, while little puppy was sleeping. I cannot express to you enough just how grateful I am to have had our paths cross for so many reasons. The part where you said that you know that each person that has crossed your path has a very real purpose. And you know what? I felt like you, in that moment, that was speaking to me because I needed to hear it. I believe so much in your destiny. I just am so, so grateful to have found you and be part of that and get to be one of the people that gets to benefit from all of your wisdom.
Welcome to the Evolution of Self podcast. I'm your host, AJQ. That is a message that I woke up to this morning from Amanda Lee. I believe so much in your destiny. I believe that we are all connected, that we all have a reason, that we all have a purpose. We don't know the why. Sometimes it can take years to figure out. Sometimes we never figure it out. Sometimes we just create ripples that we'll never even see. And maybe it's not meant for us to see it. Like maybe somebody just smiled at you the right way on that one day that you planned on ending your life. And it saved you. That one small act of kindness completely changed everything. That is what I believe. I do not believe in wrong souls. I believe that everybody is here for a reason. And every path we cross, even though sometimes they may hurt like hell, it's for a reason. As always, 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 you never, ever have to share my belief system. You don't have to take it on as your own, because not everybody believes in this. And it took me a long time to believe in this, that everybody in your life has a purpose. Whereas before, it was like, how? Why can this happen to me? Like, how did I deserve to have something like this happen to me? And it took many years to alchemize out of that into being able to see the bigger picture. Sometimes really shitty things can happen to us and doesn't make it okay. It doesn't mean that we deserved it. There's no justification for it. Like, I understand why people choose not to believe in a higher power. Because how can the world be so cruel? How can there be a God when they're starving children? How can there be divinity? How can there be a light when there's tsunamis wiping out 250,000 people? What does this mean? We all have a right to believe in what we believe in. And you know, as long as our belief system isn't hurting other people, as long as our belief system isn't guiding us to do atrocious things to other humans, it can't really be wrong, can it? A lot of us have to go through this battle of having to defend our belief system because other people don't want to accept that there is a life outside of them. They have a very difficult time understanding different perspectives. So they try to control it. They try to shame it. They try to guilt you into submission. Just know that control is all based around fear. It's all based around fear. If you believe in something and it helps you lead with love, it helps you feel better, it doesn't hurt anybody around you, try not to let anybody take that away. Try to hold on to that. It is fear, and it's not your fear to carry. I saw a post on my Facebook recently that was shaming transgendered people. It was shaming gay people. It was very judgmental. It was very prejudiced. It was very homophobic. And they used God to justify it. They used God. And this is very familiar. Spiritual abuse. This is conditioning that these people have because their parents probably taught them the same thing. Their grandparents taught their parents that. Not everybody can break out of the system. The system of hate and the system of fear. And the people who have to receive that, they don't fucking deserve that. They don't deserve somebody else's fear, somebody else's hate. So the questions to ask, and I'm going to do this as best as I can without shaming and judging anybody else, because that is your belief system. You believe that all of this is wrong. And I understand that you were brought up that way. Sometimes the best thing is to ask questions. Figure out the why. How does somebody who is transgendered, how does somebody who is gay and they decide to love somebody of the same gender, how does this affect you? Really, ask yourself how it affects you. Like, what tangible physical evidence do you have around your life, like, that it actually affects you? Why do you care? Why do you care what somebody chooses to do with their own body? How does that affect you? Why do you care who somebody chooses to love? How does that affect you? Why do you choose to believe in a shameful and judgmental God? And how does that affect you? If we use God to shame, to judge, to manipulate others, if we believe in that God, then we must also direct that towards ourselves. Do we use God to shame and judge human parts of ourselves, human desires? Or does your God not shame and judge you, but just the people around you that you don't understand? I woke up feeling a little anxious and feeling a little sad, and I made a choice to do something recently, a choice that I knew that I wasn't ready to do. And with that choice came a lot of shame, and I had to alchemize that to something greater, like I always do. It took me a long time to be able to do that. It took me years of suffering to be able to alchemize and rewire my mentality and my thought process within a few minutes, whereas before it would take months. There was a lot of shame there. There was regret. There was fear. There was anxiety. These are the consequences of my actions. Of my actions of choosing something that I knew I wasn't ready for. These are the consequences of self-abandonment. So I slept with somebody, and it wasn't even somebody, we weren't even in like a full committed relationship, and so that in itself doesn't align with my moral compass. So there was shame tied to that, right? Plus I had these other things where this is the first person I have been with since him and I separated. And there was all just sorts of mixed emotions there, like where I felt like I was betraying somebody. I was betraying somebody that I haven't been with in 8 months. I was betraying somebody who was just not good to me and for me, who's off on his own adventures doing the same thing. Like, I somehow felt like I was disloyal. And this is how strongly that, like, bond is, you know, spiritual and trauma. This is how difficult and challenging it can be. And this was somebody, like, I developed feelings for them. I don't do casual hookups, and but it was like it was somewhere in between, you know, like it wasn't a hookup, but we weren't in like this full-blown relationship, and it just happened. And I had to actually drink to make it happen. And that's the part that's like, that's a pattern that I didn't break. And then I had a lot of shame around that because it's something that I wanted to do. Right? I could feel the desire. I could feel the like urge in my body to have that physical connection, that closeness. But because I hold my body in such a high standard now, because it's so sacred to me, that I pushed aside that human urge, that human desire. That is certainly not something that I could have done sober, right? So I chose to drink because I knew that it was something that I wanted, but I could blame the shame, I can blame the action of it on the alcohol. It wasn't me that did it, right? I was out of body. I wasn't even like in the present. I was somewhere else entirely. Like my cognitive functioning was impaired. I mean, how can that be my fault? The alcohol can carry the shame so that I don't have to. It didn't really work like that though. The moment that this thing was over, I went into a full-blown trauma response. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad, and it was totally unexpected. I knew that sexual trauma was my deepest trauma. I just didn't know it was going to be that bad. And I told this person, had I known that that was going to happen, like, either A, we wouldn't have done this, or B, we could have had a conversation multiple times beforehand so that we were prepared on how to handle it for when it did happen. And when I expressed this to him, I kind of have a feeling he interpreted that as, I never planned on sleeping with you, like that shouldn't have happened. But it's not about that. I was talking about the trauma. Like, I didn't think that that was going to happen. The trauma was going to happen. Like, I did have a feeling we were going to sleep together. I just thought it was going to be a month or two down the road. I mean, I didn't really put a time frame on it. You know, I was just kind of enjoying the moment with him. And it's just something that happened. And I found that during this trauma response, from what I can remember, I was definitely pushing this person away, which is the exact opposite thing that I would need. And that was my wounding. I remember feeling immediately like used. I was feeling very scared. I was feeling like I was dropped back into the war zone. I knew that I wasn't there, but I felt like I was there. And this is PTSD. I felt like I had to run away to find safety, but I couldn't move because I was in like a freeze response. And I couldn't communicate because of that freeze response. I couldn't actually tell this person like, hey, what I need right now to feel safe is for you to just like hold me. Just wrap your arms around me tight. That will help like ground me and pull me back down and bring me back to safety. And of course, it's not his responsibility to heal my wounds. However, in a moment like that, co-regulation is absolutely necessary. And I couldn't ask him for that. And so everything that was happening, he just felt attacked. He got offended. He was defending himself. I remember crying and him just saying, oh my God. Like he was annoyed. He was frustrated and he was overwhelmed. And so he wasn't the person to heal this wound with. And that's not his fault. I don't think he did anything wrong. No fault of his own. It's just where he is right now in life and where I am right now in life. And it's totally valid. It's like his responses were totally justified. Like, it's so okay. And I recognized after, like, this is why I was not ready for this. I said that I was not ready for this. And then I abandoned. Like, I abandoned that part of me that knew I wasn't ready because of this urge, because this human desire. And it wasn't worth it, man. Like, to me, it was not worth it because, like, it just came with all of this stuff that I did not expect. And I just learned my lesson. I learned my lesson hardcore. And that is what I got out of it. I needed to learn my lesson. I needed to know where I stood. And I just know that the little part of me that was kind of aware during the whole trauma response, I spent that part of myself trying to comfort this person because I could see like how offended he was and he felt attacked that I saw him as that person. And I was trying to explain to him, like, it's not like that. It's not like that. Like, that's not what's happening here. Like, I know you're not bad. I know you're not these people, but that's not what it's about. It isn't like that. And he didn't get it. And I didn't have any more energy to go into further detail because I was literally in a trauma response. And if you have never had a trauma response, your nervous system is completely hijacked. You are being controlled by your wounds. Absolutely controlled. Before, this would be 100%. There wouldn't even be like 1% of awareness going on. This time, and I know this was from my years of rewiring, there was this part of me that was like floating above myself, this healed part of me. Floating above, and I was observing this unfold, and I still couldn't get out of it. I still couldn't pull myself out, and that definitely made me feel like a failure. Like, I felt like a fucking failure. I felt like I didn't do enough, and I had to alchemize that because that's not true. I did everything that I could do, but to see myself, to witness myself in that way, and be the back driver to my wounding, well, it sucked. It just flat out sucked. It was like I was screaming at myself, like, what are you doing? What are you fucking doing? Pull the car over, you know? Like, why are you doing this? And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. So I recognized the whole next day what I did was I contacted this person, which was huge growth for me because the amount of shame I was feeling, the amount of failure, the amount of embarrassment, I would have ran away. This is what avoidant people do. This is why I understand it. Running away because you don't want to face your own shame spiral. And I didn't do that. I communicated with this person and I let them know, hey, everything that happened last night, it wasn't your fault. I was in a trauma response. I couldn't control the trauma response. And if I was in a place to be able to communicate what I needed to feel safe, I would have done that with you. But I couldn't because I was in a freeze state. And it's not your fault. Once again, you did everything that you could. And I just need some time right now to process my feelings, to process my thoughts. You know how huge that is for me? That was a very mature, healthy thing to do. To just communicate, to reassure somebody else that that wasn't their fault. And then I sat there all day long. I sat in my chair in the living room and I just faced all of those shadows. I faced the shame. I faced the feelings of failure. I faced the embarrassment. I faced all of that. And then I had understanding and compassion and empathy and patience for myself, for those parts, those wounded versions. And it was okay. I mean, I really dove deep, right? In that time, I was processing and I put it together that I lost my virginity. And within an hour, my good friend died. And I lost my virginity while I was drinking. Like, what? And this was something that I didn't even want to do. I wanted to wait until I was married. I was like the one person in my group that like everybody else lost their virginities between like 13 and 16. And here I am, an 18-year-old girl. And I still don't want to do this. I want to wait. My upbringing, I have no idea how I had a compass like this. I have no fucking clue, but I did. And I ended up being really drunk so that this thing happened. And that brings me to the now of I have to be drinking the first time that I sleep with somebody. I was drinking the first time I slept with my ex. It's the same thing. Like I said, it's like the alcohol can carry that shame for me because there's shame around doing this like natural human connection desire thing, right? Like there's so much shame around that. So I don't want to have to carry that. I don't want to have to feel like a failure. Like I'm not the one controlling me. The alcohol is. I remember after it happened, September 3rd, 2000, it was Sunday. So I was drinking on Saturday night. So it was Saturday night rolled into Sunday morning. I missed school. School started Thursday or Friday that year. And I missed school because I was out drinking with my friends because I wanted to skip. I was hungover. And after this thing happened, this really big thing that I never even wanted to happen, I went to school on Monday. And my favorite teacher, he came up to me and he said, "Hey, Alicia, I'm so sorry about your friend." And I looked at him and I was so damn confused. Like, what do you mean? "I'm so sorry about Brian. You didn't hear about Brian?" "No, no." And here I am, not able to pick up social cues. Very naive to emotion and facial expressions, which now I can do. Like, you wouldn't believe it's my greatest gift. It's my fucking superpower. Honing in on the smallest change of a word, anything. And I can always see the truth right through it. The truth always comes out because I can do those little things. I can notice those little tiny discrepancies. It's such a fucking superpower, man. So again, he's like, "You didn't hear what happened." And I'm thinking that he like fucking fell down the stairs or just some dumb shit and he broke his leg and or he jumped off a fucking, I don't know. I just, you know, it was Brian. I thought he just did something dumb. I didn't even fucking know he did drugs. So he tells me that he died. He had an overdose. And I just remember running away. I remember kind of like zoning out, like dissociating. And I then ran downstairs into the locker room and I stayed there all day. I just hid out in one of the showers and I stayed there all day. And I can't tell you what I thought back then. I'd have to really time travel and I can do it, but I am not going to do that to myself. We're all time travelers, you know, this is what we do. Anticipating the future, living in the past. I find myself having a nice balance these days, so I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to tap into actions of the past, experiences of the past, but I'm not going to relive the past. To sum it up, I most certainly blamed myself. You ever do that? You blame yourself for somebody's death? You really think that it's somehow your fault, even though it has no relevance to you whatsoever? Or you feel like you could have done something? I feel like that's pretty common. Like, I could have done this. If only I had this, I should have done this. Like, we're somehow responsible for everybody else's journey. We're responsible for saving people, even though their journey has nothing to do with us, really. Their choices have nothing to do with us, really. So I had a lot of self-blame, a lot of guilt, a lot of regret, a lot of shame, that I believed that if I didn't miss school on that Thursday or Friday, I would have saw him and his fate would have changed. I would have changed the course of his fate. And it's not because I believed I was so special. I remember going through a phase where I was like, "You really think you're that special? Like, how entitled are you? How superior do you believe that you are? That you actually believe that if you showed up there, that you are that powerful, that it somehow could have changed the fate of somebody else." And I shamed myself for also feeling like that. And now that I am where I am, I'm like, I am actually pretty powerful. I am. However, the intention behind all of that back then, it was just because I felt responsible. It was because I was in a very wounded place. And it was because I did this very shameful thing that I never wanted to do. Pretty much the moment he died. So, understanding all of that, just last week I put all of this together. That I equate sex with tragedy. I associate sex with death. And that's why the first time I sleep with somebody, I relive the pattern of drinking. That's why the first time I sleep with somebody, I run away. My ex-husband, the first time we slept together, again, it wasn't even something that I wanted to do. And I actually wasn't drinking with him. He was the first person I slept with that I didn't drink with. And I was supposed to go to work that night. I was like 19 years old. I was working as an overnight restocker at Walmart. And I pulled into the parking lot and I couldn't go in. I had a friend there named Josh. Hi, if you're listening, thank you. And I remember thinking like he would be comforting or something. You know, like I could just go in there because I have a friend in there. But I couldn't. I just couldn't even pull myself out to do it. So I ended up driving out of that parking lot. And I think I went back at some point to try to get my job, but it didn't work out. So I drove out of the parking lot that night. And I then drove a half an hour away to another friend's house. His name was Kevin. He's probably 10 years older than me. And I just slept on his chair in his bedroom for like 3 days. I literally ghosted. I literally disappeared. And there weren't cell phones then. Back in 2001, we didn't have cell phones. So imagine what my ex-husband was feeling. Like, he definitely had feelings for me. This wasn't fake. I know he's got a lot of narcissistic traits and whatnot, but that was, his feelings were real. So he does this thing and this girl just disappears without a fucking trace. I didn't know all of this then. I didn't know. I just knew that I had to run away. And now when you look at the big picture, when you connect all of the dots of this trauma, of equating sex with shame, with guilt, with death, I have to run away before something really bad happens. I have to run away before somebody dies. Because me doing this act is going to kill somebody. Wow, huh? And see, this was subconscious wounding that has now become conscious. And since it's conscious now, everything will change. So this is why I believe that everybody is in our life for a reason. Everybody that crosses our paths, whether it's just a short while or they're here permanently, it's all for a reason. So I know that this man and I are not compatible in that way. We can't move forward in that way. We can be friends. However, we can't move forward in that way because we both have a lot of wounding that we have to work on separately. He's just starting his healing journey and I'm at the end of it. I mean, I know that we heal for the rest of our lives, but what I mean is like, I went through 3 years of this like ego purging and dark night and like this massive like consciousness, like leveling the fuck up, right? He's just now entering into what that the biggest part of my healing journey, like I'm stepping out of that. He's just entering into his right now. So he doesn't understand yet what triggers are and what traumatic responses are and PTSD. And that is what I know that I would need moving forward because relational trauma, I talk about a lot of relational trauma can only be healed in a relationship. Like there's only so much I can do on my own healing separately. That sexual trauma is going to be with another person. So while I'm separate, I can work on my communication skills. I can work on setting boundaries. I can work on that social anxiety and that fear that comes up around speaking. And so now that I know that, hey, this is going to be a very big possibility that if we sleep together, I'm going to fall into a trauma response. It's not by choice. It's not something I want to happen. And it might not happen now that I'm aware of it. However, it might happen. So I can have this hard conversation with my future partner now. It would be a difficult and challenging conversation to have. However, working through my social anxiety and my fear around communicating and my love within myself and having boundaries, that's the kind of thing that will allow me to be able to communicate with somebody. And then this person will have a choice. Hey, do you want to be a part of this healing journey or not? Because I know that the partner that is going to be here to help heal this with me, it's somebody who understands trauma responses. It's somebody who leads with integrity, who leads with love, who's done a lot of healing work on himself to understand what projection looks like, to understand what a trauma response is, to understand grounding, to understand co-regulation, and to understand how to be in the present and to be receptive and to understand feedback and not just feel attacked. Like I said, it's totally justified that this is what this person was feeling because he had no idea what the hell was going on. And well, I didn't warn him because I didn't know, but I know now. And he was really respectful and he was really kind. And he was like, I should have handled that better. I could have handled it better. And again, I reassured him that it wasn't his fault. And the whole time I spent, maybe 15 hours processing, he messaged me a couple different times and it was really mindful. It was really attentive. It was basically like, hey, I'm here. Like, I'm not going anywhere. Everything's okay. It's like he was trying to make up for what he didn't understand the night before. And I saw that and it was very beautiful. He's like, just call me if you need anything at all. You know, and then a short while later, it was like, hey, I'm going to the store. Do you need anything? You know, it was very sweet. So by the end of all my processing and alchemizing, we message each other, or I ended up calling him, and we talk a bit, and he's like, can I just come over? Is it okay if I come over and hug you? He's like, you know, I just feel really helpless. And I was like, yeah, that's okay. Because I was ready. I was ready for that now. And then he showed up and, you know, gave me a hug, and we sat on my couch, and we talked for like an hour, and we talked about tons of stuff. We talked about where we need to be in our journeys and how this thing, like, it can't happen again. You know, I was saying before, I told him that I wasn't ready. We had this conversation a few different times. And the thing is, he didn't know that I was drinking. He had no idea that I was drinking. And the reason I didn't tell him was because that's one of his addictions that he has to work through. And I felt like I was protecting him because I didn't want to enable him to come downstairs and drink with me. It was only out of protection. And that sucks because, you know, I didn't mean it in any other way at all. And I didn't certainly mean to make him feel any kind of way, like to feel like he took advantage of a situation. How could he? He had no idea. He had absolutely no idea. And I apologized many times for not telling him that. And I tried to explain that it had nothing to do with him as a person. It had nothing to do with not wanting to be with him. It just had to do with masking the shame. And that's what I put together. It just had to do with my old wounding and masking the shame. That it was something that likely would have happened eventually. It's just, if it wasn't him, it was going to be somebody else. It was going to be somebody else, no matter what. So I guess in the end, it really was all worth it. Because I got to learn a lot of layers. I got to uncover a lot of things that I didn't really understand before. So now I know a whole new part of myself that I locked away. And that's everything right there. That's what makes it worth it. So we talked about a number of things and how and why it wouldn't work out and what I would need. And he's like, well, don't you think that it would be helpful now that I understand it to try to heal that with me versus like going with somebody new and scaring them away? And that right there told me that this was not the person that I can heal this with, because scaring people away. Yeah. And I just was like, no, because I'm not going to scare the right person away. I'm just not, because I will be able to communicate that with them. And I have a very strong feeling that they are going to understand. So this person and I, we weren't in a relationship. We didn't talk about being in a relationship. We were kind of like cuddle buddies, which I've never done before in my life. And this definitely triggered some things in him too, which, why wouldn't it? So we discussed like the reasons that it wouldn't be good for us. Like, you know how much energy it would take somebody to try to heal this wound with me? And this is exactly why I was talking about how it's got to be somebody who's done a lot of healing work, like kind of on the same page as me, somebody who understands a lot of these things, somebody who's made a lot of progress, because that energy he needs to heal himself and to heal those addictions, like that would just be placed on me. And he uses these things as a coping mechanism. So my wounding is going to trigger him to want to be a part of that more. And that would be enabling. And I can't do that. So it's a matter of protecting him. It's a matter of protecting me. Because then I'm going to continue to go in like a downward shame spiral, thinking that it's me and I'm at fault for allowing him to stay in this cycle. And it's just, so it's a lot. It's a lot. It just can't work out for like many reasons. I think that he's like a fucking awesome person. I think he has a beautiful soul. I think he has a million beautiful traits. The state that we are both in at this time, it would be disastrous. It just would not work out at all. It's just psychology. When we have these addictions, a new person, it's like a hit of dopamine. It can replace it for a little while. It feels so good. It's the new high. It's the new chase. And then things begin to settle. And that serotonin, dopamine dust, it dissipates. And you begin to get that itch again. You begin to get that feeling. Because if you're using a new person as a mask and not doing like the real work and uncovering all of the shadows to figure out why you mask in the first place, then it's not going to be healed. And then what happens? You have hard, challenging discussions. It leads to big feelings. If you're not sure how to regulate your emotions and how to feel your emotions on your own without needing some kind of external source, then you're going to go back to that. And, you know, there's this thing like, don't live in the future. You know, it's not about that. It's just, I can see it. I can see right now where it is and what would happen. And I have no desire to put this person in that situation. And I have no desire to put myself back in that situation because I myself would have to revert back to a wounded place in order to be there. It doesn't align. It doesn't align. And I did have feelings for this person. And I'm somebody who can't do casual hookups. Like I want the full committed relationship. And at this point in time, it's like, okay, we can continue to do that. We can continue to snuggle and catch feelings and then, but it's, what's the point? What's the point when we know that right now it's not the right time and it's not the right place for us? It wouldn't work out because like I said, the amount of energy it's going to take for somebody to help me heal that wound, and I'm not taking that energy away from that person at all. I know that the right person for me doesn't refer to this stuff as scaring everybody away because I felt really hurt when he said that, but I knew that he didn't know it the way that I did. I asked him, I said, did I scare you at any other time in our like 4 week connection? Was there any moment of the day that I ever scared you? And he was like, not at all. Not at all. I love being around you. I always want to be around you. You never scared me. And I'm like, exactly. Cause I'm mostly healed. Like I'm just chill. I just try to lead by doing the right thing. It's not about being right. It's just about doing the right thing. And, I understand that, like, it was scary. It was very scary for me, too. The reason it happened was because I was so afraid. But scaring everybody away, when you put it like that, it's not very nice. Especially because you know that I'm not a scary person. You just admitted that no other part of our connection scared you whatsoever. So this one part, this is what was scary. And you're allowed to be scared, but I don't want to have this thing in my head that I'm just going to scare people off. Like, it's almost like it adds more shame or it adds more guilt, or like I feel like I have to be celibate for the rest of my life because no guy is going to want to be with me because I'm going to terrify the fuck out of them. But I know that that's not true. And I know that because of where I am right now in my journey and everything that I just learned right now, there's going to be no problem communicating very clearly all of this to the next person. Anyways, we ended the night on that note very good, Saturday night. It was very good. It was just mutual, reciprocating, understanding that this is just a misalignment. It's an incompatibility. Like, we're just not gonna work out that way. We can still be friends. We can still go for walks. We can still ride our motorcycles together. We can still do all of that. Everything was okay. It was beautiful. The anxiety was alleviated. It was very like mature. It was very respectful. It was very secure. It was very healthy. And so, you know, he understood. He seemed to understand everything I was saying. I tried to explain to him the shame around it and that I wasn't drinking because like, oh, you know, oh God, I have to drink to be with you. No, it has nothing to do with that. You know, it's something that I wanted to do, but I have so much shame around the act itself that that's like liquid courage or some shit. And the whole trauma response of equating it with death. And the thing is, the whole thing is really challenging. You know, he had a brain injury a long time ago and his short-term memory isn't very good at all. And so I did have to explain the situation like 3 separate times already because he forgets, which no fault of his own. But then there was some stuff happening on his end where I could see the behavior very clearly because it's something that I would do before in my anxious attachment, where he was making baiting posts on Facebook, things that would get my attention. It's like posting things that nobody else would understand, but he knew that it would get my attention. And I saw it and I was like, why is he doing this? You know, like, I don't even understand it. Like, I was starting to feel confused. And then we had a conversation in person and then I understood, because this is something that I used to do as well. My hypervigilance, my anxious attachment, like this rumination, this overthinking, this hyper intrusive thought process, I would create narratives in my head. And then the feelings that would stir up because of those narratives, the feelings were so real that the thought itself must be real too. And these stories I created, they were really bad. They were hurtful. They were mean. And that's what he did. He came over and he was like, did you just use me for like part of your healing journey? Like, did you just like do that just so you could know where you were at? And then that was it. And I, no. And this is what I mean about knowing yourself well. Like, my future partner would have to know himself so well to understand what his intentions are. Because when you know what your intentions are, you know that you lead with love, you lead with integrity. And when you lead with truth, there's nothing to fear. So he has this anxiety inside of him. He has this fear thought inside of him right now. And I'm here to reassure him and to let him know, no, absolutely not. That's not who I am. This is something that I knew that I wasn't even ready for. But I had that urge and that desire inside of me because I had feelings for you. It was only until after it happened that I realized how not ready I am. It wasn't with the intention of, oh, I'm going to sleep with you so that way I know. I'm going to test the waters here. No, that's not who I am. I would never lead in that way. However, I understand why you feel that way. I understand why you can think that. Absolutely. Especially because I have a platform dedicated to healing. Like, why wouldn't you think that? Totally valid, totally justified. However, it's not true. So I have to explain this thing to him about the whole process of that we can be our own worst enemy. And if you're ever feeling confused about anything, to just reach out and ask me a question and I will give you full clarity. So that way you can save yourself all this anxiety. You can save yourself all of this pain by holding on to a narrative that isn't even true. Because that's what he did. He created this narrative and then he believed in it because his feelings were real. So because your feelings are real, it must be true. No, your feelings are always real. I explained this to him. The sadness you feel, the anxiety that you feel, maybe the anger that you feel, all of these emotions that stirred up because of your thinking, those feelings are very real. No matter what, they're very real. However, it doesn't make the thought itself true. And you can only meet people at the depth where you have met yourself. And the only reason that I could see very clearly what he's doing and the trigger that's taken place inside of him is because I have met myself on that level. I have very much researched that version of myself and I know her well. Because I see myself, I can now see you. So I can give him what I would have needed when that version was looking for reassurance. And the difference is I'm not over here gaslighting you. I'm going to give you the real deal. Always. I'm always going to keep it real with you. And I said, if there's some part of me that actually thought, well, maybe he has a point. Maybe there was a part of me that was like, oh, I should probably do this just to see where I am healing wise. Then I would absolutely say, yeah, maybe you're right. However, I know myself very well. That is not true at all for many reasons. Many, many reasons. As I don't just give my body to people. First off, I don't give people access to my body like that. I don't exchange energy like that. I've been single for 8 months and there was 3 separate people that I turned away because I didn't want to have that connection, because I wanted to be by myself, because I needed to heal more. And for some reason, there was you. There was you, and I didn't turn you away. And it wasn't because I'm using you for some kind of information. Like, no, it's because I actually felt something. It's because we have a connection. I don't know what the connection is, but it just is. And the thing is I know this anxious attachment well, is that I will provide this reassurance for him, and it may work for a little while, and then it's going to come back, and I'm going to have to reassure him again, and it might be good for a little while, and then it will come back, and I'll have to reassure him again. And I can't do that. I can't do that for multiple reasons, because I have done a lot of work around my own healing, that to constantly have to defend my integrity, to defend my character, to defend my honor, I don't want to be in a position to have to do that where somebody is not believing in me. And it's like, I believe these healed aspects of him, believe in that. But as you can tell with my trauma response, we are driven by these subconscious wounds. And those subconscious wounds probably tell him that I'm somebody who used him, that I'm somebody who manipulated him, that I'm somebody that lied to him, because if that's how he sees the world, if that's what his experience is, and if he has these hardcore rejection wounds, these abandonment wounds, if he isn't working through that stuff, then he's going to project that onto me. Just in the same way my trauma response did that to him. And that's what I tried to explain to him, is that I had this response. He didn't deserve it, but it was a response. It was PTSD. And the whole next day, what did I do with that information? I sat there and I processed for 15 hours. I uncovered a lot of stuff so that I didn't continue to project other things onto him, so that I continued to get a better understanding of myself, so that I could learn things, so that I can never, hopefully, have that happen again. But of course, I'm sure it will. But at least now I can be prepared for it. Now, if he's doing the same thing where he's in like a trauma response, or his subconscious wounds are controlling him, and I'm giving him that reassurance, but he isn't reflecting on that, he isn't alchemizing, he isn't rewiring, he isn't growing, he isn't learning from that, then he's going to continuously come to me for that reassurance. And what is that? That's codependency. We know that well, right? And after everything, there is no way in fucking hell that I'm going to enable somebody to be codependent. I can provide reassurance. I can provide co-regulation. However, if that's something you become completely dependent on while you're not doing healing work separately, no. I can't be a part of that, because I know that it is not my responsibility to heal and save anybody. And that is a pattern that I broke through. Just as if I'm completely dependent on you to carry my emotions, that's how it was with my avoidant partner. And in all fairness, he was an asshole. He did lie, he did gaslight, he did manipulate, he did cheat. He still, though, was not responsible for carrying my emotions. And as somebody with avoidance anyways, who didn't understand his emotions, how the hell could he help me? He would have no way of helping me. So it's like I had no choice but to learn how to do it on my own. I didn't have a fucking choice. So it's like, this is how we learn balance, right? Like, this is karma. Like, I now understand what it's like to be on the other side of somebody who might possibly need reassurance a lot, because they don't believe in me. They don't believe that what I'm saying is true, because they're believing in that voice inside of their head from the wounding that's feeding them all of this bullshit, that's feeding them all of these lies. And because it's producing those strong feelings, well, that voice has to be true, right? So it's like, yeah, I understand it completely. I completely understand it, because I fucking lived there. And I'm not somebody you're gonna have to worry about lying to you, because I'm gonna be honest no matter what. So this is why I'm honestly saying, sure, I could give you some reassurance. Sure, I can give you some co-regulation. But you gotta be on your own healing journey too, because I can't carry this stuff for you, you know? It's kind of like that saying, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, and he'll eat for life. Enabling somebody to stay completely dependent on me, to regulate their emotions, that would not be teaching them. There's got to be balance, and you got to find it within, just like I had to. So it all happened Friday night. All day Saturday, I was processing. Saturday night, we got together. We met up. We had a really healthy, secure conversation. We both understood each other. And then Sunday morning, he was triggered, and he posted a baiting thing on Facebook, and I saw right through it. And he came over and he admitted it, which was great. And from there, I provided that reassurance that he needed. And then we hung out a couple more times. We had dinner together. And then I went over to his house again, because we had to have like another deeper conversation, another challenging conversation. And traditionally, I would have ran away, but I was like, no, we have to do this again. We have to have this hard conversation. I had to reassure him a couple more times. I noticed that it started to be like a pattern. And I realized something. I'm like, I could say the same thing over and over and over again, but his wounding will not allow him to receive who I am. So I have no problem reassuring him and validating his feelings. However, if I have to keep doing it over and over and over again, then I'm going to enable him to stay in that wounded place, and I will not place myself in that position to enable anybody. So a lot of things came out after this, which made me very aware of how incompatible we are right now. As I was saying to him, it doesn't make either of us wrong at all. We're different pages in the same book. That's it. nobody's better, nobody's worse, as above, so below, you know? And he would say to me, like, you're better than people, or you're better than everybody. And I was like, why do you say that? Like, I don't feel like I'm better than anybody. And do you think that I think that I'm better than everybody? And he goes, yeah, kind of. And I'm like, well, I don't look around at people and say I'm better than them and I'm superior. And I was like, I am not that person. And you think that I'm that person, like, I'm telling you that I'm not, you know? And then he was like, well, I don't mean it like that. Like, I don't think that you think that you're superior in that way or anything like that. He's like, I just mean that you should think that you're better than people. Why should I think that? I don't know. I just don't. And I try to tell him once again, like, nobody's wrong here. Like, things don't have to be rejecting. Things don't have to be bad. Things don't have to be with negative intentions. It can just be misalignment. It can just be incompatibility. There's a million other women out there that aren't going to reflect back your shadows to you. They aren't going to, like, have you feeling like a failure. Like, just be who you are, you know, and just be, like, with other people. Like, because, you know, he'd have conversations like, it's tough to be around me and it's challenging to be around me because I could see right through him. Yeah, I can. It's only because I eventually saw through myself, and that can be really tough to be around. He admired my self-respect, and this is what self-respect looks like. Self-respect looks like setting boundaries. Self-respect looks like not accepting things that don't feel good by choosing things that align with you instead of suppressing yourself to make other people feel comfortable. Self-respect is choosing to walk away when you don't feel like things are good for you. Self-respect is choosing to walk away when you feel like things aren't good for other people too. This is how we grow. We have experiences. We learn things. We connect the dots. We evolve. And I'm so glad that I woke up to that message this morning, believing in my destiny. Because sometimes when you're caught in a shame spiral, you suddenly feel like you don't have one. And I was able to pull myself out of that on my own. I was able to self-regulate. I was able to rewire. I was able to alchemize. So I brought myself back, and now I receive a blessing from somebody else. I receive comfort, reassurance, and validation from somebody else. And it's just a confirmation for me, a very beautiful confirmation for me on how we're all connected and how we are all placed into each other's paths for a reason, at the right time, for the right reasons, for purpose. And we can either take these lessons that we've learned, make different choices next time, have this willingness to grow, breaking patterns, or we can stay the same too. This life can be pretty fucking hard. Triggers can be really hard. Subconscious wounding, it's a fucking nightmare. I don't advocate for people hurting other people. I don't advocate for people hurting themselves. If you want to choose to mask things and if you want to choose escapism, but if you do it in, like, healthier ways that isn't hurting yourself or others, like, you do what you have to do to get by in this life. I see you and I see your pain, and it's not easy. I mean, I just did it, having to sit there all day long and face a downward shame spiral that you ordinarily would have ran away from. You would have cut yourself over so you didn't have to feel it. Having to face that without any kind of coping mechanisms, without masking at all, was pure suffering. So I see you and I see your pain. You want to wake up and you want to play video games all day long? You fucking do that. You fucking do that. You do what you can to get by. I just want you to know that you are worthy of more than just getting by. We have these connections for a reason, and sometimes it can take a lifetime to figure it out. In just such a short amount of time, I had a lot of beautiful experiences with this one person. I learned that I can be myself. I learned that people can show up in a myriad of ways, even when you don't ask. You know, he came over and I made dinner, and while I was making dinner, he was fixing my windows. He was really kind, and he did have some willingness to grow there. And he was honest. He was an honest person. He would try to hide some things because of, what do? You know, shame. We try to hide some things. But as soon as he got right in front of me, he found that he couldn't. Can't imagine why that is. And there was this thing about him too that I found absolutely refreshing. You know how sometimes people say things or they think things that maybe they shouldn't say, but we have this filter, right? We have this filter that tells us, like, hey, maybe not, you know, hey, maybe know our audience. Like, he doesn't really have that. He doesn't have that, and I believe we talked about it. I believe that was part of his brain injury. And there was something about it that was, it was so refreshing. Because I asked for this. I prayed for this. Somebody who couldn't tell a lie. Somebody who just couldn't betray and be deceiving. Somebody who was just so transparent. And some of the things that would come out of his mouth, it, I was like, all right, I understand why people have secrets. I understand. And it was just a misalignment. You know, the way that he spoke, it didn't make him wrong. It didn't make him wrong at all. And like I told him, he could be around a million people that spoke the exact way that he did, that was totally accepting of the way that he spoke. I just speak in a very different way. I surround myself around a different language, and I didn't want there to be any judgment or any shame or anything like that, but it was really hard for me to be around, and I noticed that if I continued to be around it, well, I was suppressing those things that aligned with me because it didn't feel good. You know, when he would speak in a certain way, it didn't feel good for me, it didn't feel good for my body, and I know that he was feeling like a failure. Like, he was feeling wrong. He wasn't feeling like he was good enough. He was feeling criticized. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that. I didn't want that for me. I didn't want that for him. I don't ever want to put myself in a position or put somebody else in a position with me that they feel like they're wrong somehow. That they feel like who they are as a human being is wrong. That they are not accepted exactly as they are. I don't ever want anybody to feel like that. And that is what happens when you see that there are misalignments and there's incompatibilities, but you try to like suppress it, right? Or maybe you just like kind of procrastinate, like you just wait until there's more information. That is what I did a little bit. And I think it was beginning to feel like that for him, that he felt like there was something inherently wrong with him. And there wasn't. There was nothing wrong with him. It was just a beautiful mismatch. And I remember one of the beautiful moments where I had this telescope, and my ex, he tried his best. He tried his best to put it together and for it to work, and it didn't really work out that well. He did his best, he did. However, I'm gonna research things. See, me, I have no understanding of technical shit. Like, I can edit films like you would not believe. I can do things like that when it comes to like building things, like mechanics and I don't even know how to articulate it because I have no frame of reference on that vocabulary. And you can see I'm struggling here, okay? I could talk to you about psychology all day long, but like, what do I say? How do I talk about building a telescope? No fucking clue. And so my ex, he's like, I'm gonna research it. I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this for you. Oh yeah, I have to do this for you. And after that one night, he never touched it again. He never tried. For the rest of the 8 months, he never tried again. And he brought it up again. Yeah, I gotta do that for you. And then he didn't do it. I mean, that's how it was though. That, yes, he tried. That's great. He tried that one day. He did the best he could. However, then he would talk about doing it, talk about researching it, talking about putting forth that effort to make it happen for me. And he just never touched it again. He never did it again. And I don't know if it's because he felt like a failure. So, you know, the whole self-sabotaging thing, like, we're just not going to do it because we already feel like failures. So what's the point of it? And I get that. I totally understand that. If you feel like doing that, try not to give people words, right? Because that's empty promises. And then your actions and words don't align, which means you lack integrity. I mean, just get to the point where it's like, okay, I tried my best. You know, it doesn't have to be that you failed. You tried your best. Just have it end there. I know it's easier said than done. So this man comes over, and I don't ask him. This like made me tear up. This telescope has been sitting in my kitchen for a year because I try watching YouTube videos and I try figuring this shit out and I just fucking can't. It's like there's this part of my brain that's missing. I just cannot do it. And we're sitting there talking and he just looks over at my telescope and he just takes initiative and he's like, oh, what's going on with this? Does it work? You know, and he starts like assembling the whole thing and putting it together for me and figuring it out and pulling up information on his phone and finding the model number and just, and he put it together. And then we went outside and we looked at the fucking moon. My favorite moon, a crescent. And yeah, it was just very meaningful. It was so nice and so fucking meaningful. And it seems like such a small gesture, right? But it had such a deeper meaning than that, that he would never really understand. Because I wasn't going to tell him. that people can show up for you in so many ways without you even having to ask. They can just do it because they want to. They can just fix your windows because they want to, not because they're auditioning for love. They can just come over to your house and hold you and snuggle with you and watch TV with you without even having to kiss, just because they enjoy your company, not because they're looking for something out of it. And this man, he did his best to respect my boundaries. He absolutely did his best. There is nothing on him. You know how human urges are and human desires are, okay? He knew that I said that I wasn't ready, but then all of a sudden, here I am, with my mind changed, apparently, and in my very buzzed state, I do remember him being like, hey, like, wait, you said that you're not ready. Like, you know, he did that. He didn't take advantage of me. You know, in no way did that person take advantage of me. I think he's got a really good mind, and I think he's got a really good heart, and I think he has a beautiful soul. And I hope that he can believe me when I tell him that it was real, that it was very real. There's never anything in me at all that would ever use him or anybody else for that matter. I hope he can get to a point where he can receive that, where he can believe in that, and that he really starts to understand himself, and that he can really just see himself through the eyes of the people that love him, until one day he can just see himself through his own eyes. And we've all had to go through that, all of us on our healing journey here. We went through that part where we needed external validation to help carry us. And then eventually something clicked with our growth on our journey. We got to that place, and maybe you're not there yet. So this applies to you as well. I hope that one day you can see yourself for the beauty that you are through your own eyes, that you don't need anybody else. You can just do it on your own, because that's the fucking truth. That is the truth of who you are. That's the truth of who I am. We are connecting the dots and doing it together. Thank you so much for listening to The Evolution of Self. I'm your host, AJQ.